My name is Matt, and I want to greet you, all those, especially those of you who are visiting. If you are visiting with us, always such an honor to have you, and also welcome to those across the street as well. We have been in a series the last few weeks talking about the actions of God, the God who, and so I'm going to carry us through our teaching time this weekend as we continue in that series. When you read through the Bible, you find that the people of God, all throughout their history, they have not really questioned the existence of God. When you read through Scripture, there's really not a lot of speculation as to whether or not God exists. They didn't question that so much. They also rarely question God's presence, but they seem to accept and believe that God is, and God is with us. He's accessible to us. He's near us. Only when things got really, really bad did they wonder if God had abandoned them, but always they had a sense of his presence. The real pressing question for the Hebrew people, for the people of God throughout history, the real pressing question was this: what's God doing? What's God accomplishing? What's he up to? And really, really important, what is God doing with us, with me, with you? And so this series is a way for us to recognize some of what God does with you and me. He's the God who blesses. He's the God who renews. He's the God who calls. You are called by God. And he's the God who disciplines those he loves. Now, to be honest, I don't get excited about discipline. I don't get warm and fuzzy feelings when I think of God as a heavenly disciplinarian. I can't help but think of parents saying to their children, "This is going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you." I don't know if any of you ever heard that or said that. Does God strike us with lightning when he's unhappy or disappointed with us? Does God take away privileges? Does God ever give us a divine timeout? What on earth does it mean for God to discipline us? Let's just talk about his mercy and his forgiveness instead. But I'm convinced by God's word that if we know what God wants us to know about his actions of discipline, then we can experience more of what is possible in life with God. And so I want to look at some verses with you in the Bible that speak about God's discipline. And we're going to walk through this first passage of Scripture from Hebrews in the New Testament. And we're going to come across a quote from a proverb in the Old Testament that we'll look at in a little while. But let's start with the verses from Hebrews. You'll find them in your bulletin, and I believe they'll be on the screen as well. Now, this is what the Bible says about the God who disciplines. And have you forgotten the encouraging words of God? Important that it's in the context of encouragement, by the way. Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child." Now, don't get nervous about God punishing us just yet. We're going to talk about that word punish in a moment, and there's something for us to learn there, but don't start coloring it in with too much meaning yet. Let's see what more is in this. As you endure this divine discipline, Remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? You ever seen kids out somewhere acting foolish and you think, where are their parents? You ever had that happen? Hopefully they weren't my kids that you saw, but... On the other, on a different note about that same thing, though, there are some who know what it's like to be the children of absent fathers and look back and wish a dad had been there to say no to some things. If God doesn't discipline you, Scripture says, as he does all of his children, it means you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, I love this, doing the best they knew how. Isn't that the truth? Doing the best I can. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. Can you say, I'm not there yet? Say, I'm not there yet. But God's not through with me. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in his ways. Would you say trained? That's a good word for understanding how God disciplines us. So take a new grip, it says, with your tired hands. Strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. Say, become strong. God wants to do some strength training in your life. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. He is the God who disciplines. God is training you for life with him. Regardless of whether you believe the Bible, trust God, or follow Jesus. Regardless of whether you are convinced of the gospel or unconvinced, the Bible says God desires to have life with you today and forever, and he is committed to giving you opportunity to believe him and grow strong in your faith in him. You might encounter God disciplining you even before you choose to trust and accept Jesus. And you will certainly encounter God disciplining you if you have made the choice to trust him and follow him. And in the process of us becoming what God desires for us to be with him, there's going to be moments when it's obvious that we aren't there yet. We're on our way to live out the new life that God has given us. And along the way, our Father disciplines us. And so I want us to learn about this strength training program that God has for all of us. And I want to point out two truths about God's discipline in our lives and then a few ways that we respond. Okay? So the first truth about God disciplining. God disciplines us to train us for life with him. Last week I told you that God calls us into new life with him, and we begin that new life when we accept and trust that Jesus Christ traded places with us when he gave his life on the cross. The Bible says that when he went to the cross, he was accomplishing this trading of places so that he who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. A new life with God begins when we believe that Jesus took our sins on himself and gave us his righteousness, so that in that new life, God calls us holy and he calls us righteous and he calls us sons and daughters. He calls us what we could say about Jesus, because when he looks at you, when you have come to faith and are trusting Jesus, when God looks at you, he looks at you like he looks at Jesus. He sees the righteousness of his Son when he looks at you. And the Bible gives us this upside down truth that God will help you become what he has called you, what he has given to you. And one of the ways that God helps us to live into that righteousness and to become what he calls us is to train us for this new life with him. God's strength training produces men and women who trust God's word is full of truth for life at its best. God's discipline produces men and women of great faith who trust him to use their broken lives to display his love and his grace. God disciplines men and women to produce great faith in the promises of God to provide for open-handed generosity. His discipline produces men and women of great faith who trust his Spirit to fill them and lead them and empower them to live for God, to display the majesty of God's kingdom in a world that's in shambles. He disciplines us for this. He disciplines us to produce great faith to do the impossible, to carry his message of salvation to the furthest point on the map and to receive his blessings like fuel for blessing others. This is why God wants to train us. I told you we'd deal with that verse that says he punishes each one he accepts as his child. And that word punish can throw us off, or at least it can throw me off if we misunderstand the text. Punishment can sound like God requiring you to pay a penalty. But we know that Jesus has paid our penalty. He took our sins and paid the penalty in our place. God is not requiring you and me to pay for our sins. That's not at all what God does to train us for life with him. In fact, the Bible's made it clear, as I mentioned before, that Jesus came for that very reason, to pay for the sins of the world. And so God is not an angry disciplinarian, eagerly waiting for you or I to slip up so he could strike us dead. That's not God's plan for any of us. Don't believe that for a second, because God's acts of discipline in our lives will never be for the purpose of rejecting you, shunning you, or repealing his love from you. His disciplines are for those he loves, so that our faith might become greater for life with him. I want you to see the context in Proverbs that the writer of Hebrews pulls these words from. And just listen to God's love for us through this proverb. My child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you'll live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you'll find favor with God and people, and you'll earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. You hear these words of life with him? Verse 7 says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you'll have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. And then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. He's talking about all the life that he wants to do with us. In verse 11, here's the quote that we read earlier. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. So when we see it in this original context, in this proverb, we can see that God's discipline does not come to us in the form of a kind of penalizing punishment for our sins, but rather like a correction that helps us to turn in a new direction and to live life with God. A couple of weeks ago, Tom and I went downtown to attend on a Tuesday morning. We went to attend a meeting of the LA County Board of Supervisors. One of the staff members had heard the news about the medical debt relief, and so they had invited Tom to come and to give an invocation to pray before the meeting and to receive this certificate of recognition for his leadership and service in that effort. And so we were there, and it's very much a sort of government, you know, meeting going on. There's a lot of people buzzing around. And most of the time that we were there, we were just sitting in this waiting room. And there were a few others who were sitting there with us waiting. And they were going to receive some recognition as well. So we got to talking to them. And there are these two little girls there waiting with us, 16-year-old and a little 9-year-old. They were each going to be recognized by the county because they had recently competed in the national boxing championship and both had won for their age divisions. They were remarkable little girls. And we had such a great time talking with them and hearing their story. And this little 9-year-old, she was sweet as she can be. She told us that she had tried ballet, yeah, but didn't like it. So she convinced her mom to let her take boxing lessons with her older brother. And pretty soon her coach came to her mom and said, this little girl needs to start competing in some tournaments. The little girl told us the first match she was in was against her older brother, which she won. And then went on to win the next match in which she made another little boy cry. And a little tiny thing, too. And she said she felt bad about making him cry, which obviously she didn't feel that bad because she went on to other fights until she won a national championship. But she was a little firecracker. And she told us she trains 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. Can you imagine this little 9-year-old girl? And this is what I found really interesting, though, is along with the two young women, their coach was also there with them. And we had a chance to get to know him a little too. Very nice man. He had competed as a fighter when he was a younger man and came from, in fact, a whole family of boxers. And now he works as a coach for this youth boxing program. Now, what that little 9-year-old girl has achieved would never happen without that coach. Without a coach, she wouldn't know what to do for 2 hours a day. Without a coach, she wouldn't know how to spar, how to block, how to jab her favorite punch, she said, was an uppercut. She wouldn't know how to, without a coach, she might still be in ballet, God forbid. She needed a coach who knew how to train her and prepare her and strengthen her and improve her game. Her mother told us that when she first let her daughter take a boxing class along with her son, she really didn't expect this to last because the mom didn't know what was there. But the coach saw something. She needed a good coach to see the raw talent and potential in her. Nobody else saw that in her. She didn't sign up because she thought she had talent for boxing. Just think with me about this. There is some stuff in you that only God knows how to develop. And He wants to train you for life with Him. He will discipline you. He will train you and prepare you and strengthen you and improve your faith for the life that He has for you. The mom said that when the coach asked if her daughter could compete in the first tournament, she told the coach no. And the coach had to persuade the mom by telling her, you need to watch her spar so that you can see how capable she is. And once the mom saw how well this little girl could hold her own, she allowed her to compete. She needed a coach. That little girl needed a coach. A coach that she and her mother could trust to remove obstacles in the way of this little girl becoming a champ. We need self-discipline to achieve whatever we pursue in life. But maybe even more than that, we need a coach who can teach us what to do with our self-discipline. Are you with me? Yes. We need a coach who can see and call out the life that He wants to live with us. We need a coach who we can trust will remove obstacles in our way and will know when we're ready to get in the ring. If you want life with God, He will take you on like a coach. He will teach you how to live. He will point out the potential in you and give you opportunity to discover more of what's possible with Him. As you live out your faith devoted to Jesus, God will confront obstacles and clear them away for you to experience more of life with Him. He will get you ready to face whatever fights and challenges are going to stand in your way. God is committed to seeing you flourish. He won't let up on that. He loves you too much to give up on you. And the first truth about God's disciplining us is that He disciplines those He loves to train them for life with Him. A life of greater faith in who He is. And here's the second truth about His discipline. God disciplines us by testing our faith and proving His faithfulness. Any kind of discipline involves testing and proving. But when God is disciplining us, He is not just testing you to see if you will trust Him. He's testing you to reveal what you really trust and to prove that you can really trust Him more. Amen. He'll test our faith and He'll prove His faithfulness in all kinds of ways. Sometimes God tests my faith and proves His faithfulness by allowing me to steer my life off course and into some painful circumstances. God doesn't have to send trouble my way. Sometimes I'll find it all on my own. God doesn't have to make me suffer. I can cause enough suffering. God gets no pleasure in watching us hurt. That's not the way he disciplines. God can correct us, though, by allowing the consequences of our choices to prove that we need to make a course correction with him. When my focus has become selfish, or I'm making choices I know that don't please God, sometimes the best thing that can happen to me is the consequences of my actions. Sometimes I have to reap what I sowed in order to realize I was sowing the wrong seed. God makes it abundantly clear to me that I need to correct the direction of my life by trusting him to lead me, to train me, to discipline me in his way of life. It's so true what we read in verse 11. It says no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. And I have made some painful choices. Sometimes God just lets me run headlong into the pain that results from living my way rather than his way. He isn't testing my faith to see if my faith will fail. He's testing my faith to reveal what I'm really believing and to prove that I can believe him. Those painful consequences, they'll always reveal what you're really trusting, what you're really believing. The consequences of your actions prove what we believe, and God allows that to happen, even when there's pain involved, to convince us that he has called us to trust him for his way of life. You with me? But afterward, it says, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Are the consequences of your actions revealing your need to trust Jesus for some new ways of living? To trust him for a life that is firmly planted in God? Anybody tried tired of the returns you're getting on some of the choices that you're making? God will let you face some of those consequences to test your faith and prove his faithfulness. Other times, God will test our faith to prove his faithfulness by letting us pass through some storms that are not consequences of anyone's action. They're just storms of life that he will bring us through. There was a time in my life, several years ago, when my family in Texas, my parents, my brothers, when we went through a storm, I'm telling you, I don't have time to tell you all of the havoc that of some of what we faced. We went through a storm that was stressed my family from physical challenges, mental health challenges, relational erosion that went on because of all the stress and strain of those health issues. It was a time in my life when a storm of heartache rocked my family and began to rock my faith. There was a lot of confusion, a lot of questions, and a lot of prayers that seemed to make no difference. The more I prayed, in fact, the worse things got, until I didn't want to pray anymore. In fact, I can honestly remember telling God in a prayer one day, I have no confidence in your willingness to answer my prayers. I'm just going to pray because you tell me to, but I don't expect it to make any difference. I had not lost my faith in Jesus or in God's plan of salvation, all those big things. But I will tell you, my faith felt like barely holding on. Was God disciplining me? Here's what I've come to believe. God was not punishing me or my family with trouble. God was not sadistically passing out pain and suffering to teach us a lesson. That's not what his discipline looks like. But in hindsight, I can see ways that God was training me through that storm. He was training me to face all the trouble with greater faith. Faith that could endure through those circumstances. In hindsight, I can see how God's Spirit was still compelling my heart to pray, even when my prayer was to tell God I didn't want to pray. In hindsight, I see how God's Spirit was helping me practice what I knew of God's Word about prayer, even when my faith was rocked. I can see how God was sustaining my faith in Him, though it was so small. I can see now that the endurance of my faith through that time of trouble led me to discover new depths of His grace and new lengths of God's compassion and new heights of His love. Was my faith tested? Oh, yes. But it wasn't a pass-fail kind of test. God wasn't going to let me fail. God wasn't testing my ability to believe. God was testing what I believe, and He was proving His faithfulness to me and my family. God was proving that our trust in Him was not in vain. He was testing and He was proving the substance of my faith to show me that hope is more than wishful thinking, and prayer is more than room service, and life with Almighty God is bigger than this world can contain. Sometimes God disciplines those He loves by letting the consequences of their actions test their faith and prove His faithfulness. And sometimes He does it just by letting us pass through some storms where He can strengthen our faith in His mighty power and His unfailing love. He's training us. So let me give you real quick four ways that we can respond when God's training us, when He's disciplining us. Four ways we respond, rapid fire on this, well, as rapid as Matt can do. But number one, get to know God's Word. The more familiar you become with the Bible, the more familiar you become with what His Word says to us, the more easily you will recognize when God is disciplining you, and the more prepared you will be for that. So that's the first one, God's Word. Get to know it. Number two, trust the Holy Spirit to convict you, not condemn you, but convict you of what is wrong and to lead you to what is right. If you've accepted Jesus and you have trusted Him to give you new life, then God is pleased to give you His Holy Spirit as a source of help. Ask for His help and trust Him to help you. Pray. The Spirit can convict your heart as you pray, and He will help sustain your faith as God trains you. So that's the second one. Ask for the Spirit's help. Number three, listen for wisdom from others who are following Jesus. God places us in His family of believers, and there are some people in this family that have lived through some storms. There are people in this family whose faith has been trained. Listen to them. Listen for wisdom. Sometimes you might even need to seek someone out and say, do you think I'm right on this? Do you think I'm wrong over here? What do you know of life with God? Sometimes faithfulness to God can feel like foolishness in this world. So that if I trust what God says about money, there might be things I want that I will choose to give up. Is that really necessary? Those questions are going to come, and it's a chance to ask for others wisdom on this. If I trust what God says about relationships, about sex, about marriage, trusting God might put me at odds with some people. It might require boundaries in my life. And is all of that really what God wants for me? Sometimes it's clear in God's word. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's waving warning flags. But it is helpful to say to a friend, does this seem right to you? Call out to a brother or a sister to help you respond when God disciplines you. And here's the fourth one. Apply to self-discipline what you learned from God's discipline. There's a difference between God's discipline and self-discipline. God's discipline is it trains us, but self-discipline is self-control. God will not take over your body and control you like a puppet. He will not remove your ability to choose right from wrong. God disciplines us by training us to trust Him, but you are in control of your choices. So learn from God's discipline and practice what you learn in your own self-control. Perhaps the most important expression of self-control, self-discipline, is to endure in faith. To choose to keep believing. Despite the trials, despite the trouble, when it seems like your faith is being tested, keep believing. Go on trusting until the testing of your faith proves that our God is good. He's faithful, and He will not fail you. He's a good coach. He's a good coach, and He's committed to that championship. Jacob, wherever you are, would you come and join me? Before we close our time, I want us to look one more time at these words from Hebrews 12, and particularly the 12th verse. It says, take a new grip with your tired hands. Any tired hands here? And strengthen your weak knees. Man, I know what it's like to feel like in faith my knees are starting to buckle. Take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet, so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. That's walking by faith. That's believing, and I keep walking, and I keep believing, and I keep putting one foot in front of the other, and God along the way is going to strengthen you. He's going to improve your game. He is going to build up your faith. That is what He is committed to train us for life with Him. Jacob, would you help us to respond tonight before we're done? Let's stand together and let's worship our good God.